Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
He, and that he there is Abraham. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham staggered not at the promise through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You may be seated. I am going to preach for just a few moments on the subject, get your swagger back. Get your swagger back. Swagger is an amazing thing. When I say swagger, I'm talking about confidence. The Bible tells us to cast not away our confidence. If the Bible declares and encourages us, don't cast it away, I think what is being said here is that no thing can steal your confidence. Your confidence is off limits to the adversary. Because remember this, Job teaches us that the devil has to go to God and ask what he has permission to mess with. And I believe that God says, hey, there's a lot of things that you can do, but there's one thing you can't do. You've got to stay away from their confidence. But when he encouraged us to cast not away our confidence, means the only way that we lose confidence, church, is we got to throw it away. Many years ago, I was, and it was when the kids were little, the remote came up missing at my house. And first I blamed Tyler, then I blamed Jaden. You know I didn't blame Mandy. It would never be her. Even if it was, I wouldn't be dumb enough to blame her. And we interrogated the kids. I mean, we just went back and forth. What did you do with it? We know you did it. We turned the bright lights on, turned the heat up, only to finally figure out that it wasn't Tyler, it wasn't Jaden, it wasn't Mandy. That I had a TV tray with food on it, and I threw the remote away. And now I couldn't change my channels, and so I had to call Tyler in to change them on the TV. No, just kidding. But many times we will blame others for a lack of confidence. We will blame others that we are not as far as we should be. Come on, church. You know it's true. We will blame others for our lack of consistency. We will blame someone else for our lack of productivity. When it really comes down to it, no one can touch your confidence but you. And in 2020, coming into this year, man, there was a lot of swagger that this is going to be the year. This is going to be the year of vision received. This is going to be the year that I do this, that we do this, that we see this that we've never seen before. And in just 90 days, the wind was taken out of many sails. And those that swaggered in confidence now staggered just to keep going, just to keep moving, just to keep their head above water. And so this message today is for those that 2020 has been a gut punch. This message today is for those who experienced loss in 2020. I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and I told him, I said, 2020 for my family has been the best year of our lives. And I almost feel embarrassed for saying that, because I know people that have lost family members physically. I mean, they started the year and they're no longer on this earth and with us. They've lost jobs and marriages have fallen apart. And all the pressures that COVID and the climate that we live in has caused an extreme amount of loss, and I'm not naive to that. And so I know that 2020, that there's been a lot of loss. This is a message for those people. This is a message for those who feel like 2020 has been a wasted year. This message is for those who feel like nothing has gone right in 2020. This message is for those whose faith has and is being shaken even today. However, this message is also for those who have gained ground in 2020. This message is for those who have discovered who you really are in 2020. Come on now, 2020 has taught us who we really are. It has shown us what our strengths are. It has shown us our weaknesses that we can work on. It has shown our inadequacies and our strengths. It has shown our circle of friends who is really a friend and who is not. This message is for those who in the last 11 months our faith has been forged and fortified. This message is for those who have learned, grown, and matured through the process of 2020. This message is for those who use 2020 as their year of preparation as we now get ready to possess in 2021. So simply stated, after listing all of that, this message is for everyone in this room and everyone watching online. I've got four words that should make you excited and should birth expectation in your life. Simply put, after everything that 2020 has thrown at you, you are still standing. I thought I'd get it. Let's jump up on our feet and give God a 30-second praise break. Come on. The devil thought he had you, but here you still stand. You might not have everything you want to, but you're still standing. We might not be where we want to, but we're still going. We are still standing. The promises of God are still yes and amen. We still have a future. We still have a tomorrow. God is good. He's still good. He's still God. He still sits on the throne. His righteousness is still given to us. We are still under the blood. His word is still true. His promises will still prevail. Praise God. Thank you for that. I think somebody just needed to have that praise break this morning. You are still standing. This account that Paul tells us in Romans, he begins to testify on Abraham's part because Abraham has been dead for many, many years. And so the testifying of Abraham is that Abraham did not stagger, that Abraham kept his swagger through the process. And I want to help somebody get their swagger back. You know, better than Stella getting her groove back is going to be when believers get their swagger back. When the same swagger we had coming into this year, we're going to have going out of this year, and you're going to leave the devil just scratching his head saying, man, I thought that COVID would be the end of them. I thought the political unrest would be the end of them. I thought the economic uncertainty would be the end of them. But look at them. They're still worshiping. Look at them. They're still serving. Look at them. They're still going to church. Look at them. They're still giving. Look at them. He don't know what to do with a Christian. That will not stop. And so Abraham is the prime example of the one who did not stagger, but he kept his swagger. Stagger, defined, means to walk, to move, to stand unsteadily. Those that maybe stood strong in 2019 after 11 months of the greatest pandemic that our generation has ever seen, people are now unsteady that were once solid as a rock. I want to encourage you, you can get solid again before you leave today. People that were not weary are now questioning things that they'd never questioned before, but I can tell you, you can get your swagger back today. David said in the first Psalm, verse 1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he doth meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree, come on, living way, planted by the rivers of water. What I love about this year is we have seen who's got deep roots, whose roots go beyond a pandemic. We are so founded in God that it can be dry on top. The season can be famine on the surface. But guess what, church? We've got deep roots. And those deep roots go down deep and they go into that river. And guess what? We're still producing fruit when everybody else has said it can't happen. We're still producing when everybody else said it shouldn't happen. Here we are, church. And if the church can do it, then you as a believer can do it. And I'm telling you today, your swagger is because what you stand on, what you're founded on. He will bring forth fruit in his season, his leaf will not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. Stagger also means to falter or begin to give away as in the middle of a fight. 1 Timothy, Paul writes to a young Timothy, chapter 6, verse 12, and says, fight the good fight of faith. Can I tell you the fight of faith? You might lose round 1, round 4, round 6, but let me tell you something. When the final bell rings, you are going to be victorious. You are going to outlive the fight. Just keep swinging. Just keep going. It doesn't matter. I know it's tough, but it's a good fight for a reason. A good fight is one we always win. And if you'll just keep showing up, if you'll just keep focused on Jesus, if you'll just remember what he promised. Stagger means to waver. It means to hesitate. It means to begin to doubt, as in our purpose. And James cautions us in chapter 1, verse 8. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Can I encourage us? Let's get the doubting out. Let's get the second guessing out. If God said it, then I believe it, and that settles it. Let me say that again. If God said it, then I believe it, and that settles it. If he said it 10 years ago, don't you know God knew a pandemic was coming in 2020? That has not changed God's thoughts about you. That has not changed God's promises for you. If God said he was going to do it, God is still going to do it, and you ought to dance, you ought to praise, you ought to clap like he's still in the miracle-working business. If you're taking notes, write these five words down. Your promise is still active. It's still moving. It's still in the works. It still can happen. For real believers, it still will happen. If you have not seen your promise physically, if you're not holding your promise physically, it is because of two things. And I love this. I know that God is still working. That's what my faith says. I know the promise is still coming. That's what my faith says. But if I have not actually seen it or held it yet, it's one of two things. Number one, God is still preparing the promise for you. That means God is preparing it for you. One thing you do not want, church, is a premature promise. You don't want a half-baked cake. Come on now. I went to Chili's a few years ago, and I ordered chicken crispers. How many of you like the chicken crispers? Spoiler alert, you're going to hate them from here on out. Order the chicken crispers. They set them down. This was at the one in San Marcos, okay? Wasn't the one over here in the Forum. The Forum, those are my friends. They set down the plate in front of me. Chicken crispers are steaming. Boy, they look good. I bit into one of those chicken crispers. Hot on the outside, pink and slimy on the inside. They weren't cooked. All that person had to do that was running the fryer was leave them in 2, 3, 4, 5 more minutes. And they would have been perfect. Every time I pull into a Chili's, I think about the half-cooked chicken. Can I encourage you that some of us are begging for God to do something in December of 2020, but the promise is not ready yet, and God is not going to lose. Let me tell you, God is not going to lose his reputation giving something that is not ready for you. So while I wait on it, let me praise a little while. While I wait on it, let me keep serving. And better yet, I love this one. While I'm waiting on my promise to fully cook, let me help you get your promise. Maybe you're next in line and I'm number two. Maybe I should help you. And could it be many times when I'm helping somebody else get theirs, after they get theirs and we get through shouting, boom, I turn around, and the promise that I've been waiting for is waiting back in my house. And God was saying, I had to get it ready for you. Second reason that we don't see the promise or hold the promise yet is that we are not ready for it. So God is not going to give us something that would injure us now because it is ready, but we're not ready to hold it. We're not ready to drive it. Come on now. Isn't it amazing that cute little 12-year-old girl sitting next to you right now, or that handsome 12-year-old boy right now, isn't it amazing that in 3 years they're going to have a learner's permit? You think of little Jaden, right? Cute little Jaden. One of the guys here, the custodians of the church, he said, man, she has so much energy. Man, she, and I still look at her as my little girl. And then Tyler thinks like me. He said, man, Dad, it's hard to believe that Jaden is going to get a learner's permit in just like 8 months. I'm like, what? Counted it up. I wouldn't trust her with my four-wheeler right now. And so I would definitely not give her a license. But you know what I did tell her she needs to do? She needs to get in that four-wheeler when I'm sitting shotgun next to her. She needs to ask mom to help her learn how, because once she learns how to drive the four-wheeler, I'll let her drive Mandy's car. What I'm saying is even though beautiful, even though she's talented, even though she's smart. She's simply not ready. And some of us will duplicate 2021. And when I say duplicate 2021, I am not in any way prophesying that COVID will continue. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we will duplicate a year of frustration, of stress, of pressure. Unless we say, God, I'm going to do everything I can do within my ability to get ready so that you're never waiting on me. I might be waiting on the promise to perform. I might be waiting on the promise to procure and to mature and get ready for me. But God, you will never wait on me and withhold that promise another day because I'm not ready. Turn to a neighbor and tell him, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. So God is preparing the promise for us, or he's preparing us for the promise. If a promise has not yet been performed, there are three things you need to check. Here's your checklist. If you're in the waiting season and you haven't seen that promise yet performed, there's three things you need to check. The first one, I had it and I asked Mandy, I said, is this a word? She said, I don't think so. We looked in the dictionary. It's a word. And I know sometimes I just make up words and I feel like George W. Bush in 2004. It's great. You just make up stuff. Strategery. But this is a word. First thing you need to check, the promiser. The one who promised. Every promise is yes and amen. Amen means it's finished. Already done. Now, I've lived for 39 years. I've had some promises delayed, but they've never been denied. I've had some promises I've waited on. I've had some promises that I thought should come in January that didn't come till July. But let me tell you something. Every time I've checked the promiser, he's never been the problem. Ever. He didn't promise me something out of season. He didn't promise me the wrong thing. God has been in existence forever. Human history has recorded him for 6,000 years. And let me tell you something, he's still batting 1,000. He is still 100%. What he promises, he does. What he says he's going to do, he's going to do. And all the mature saints in the house, you remember when we say he might not come when you want him to, but he's always an on-time God. That's why you need to get around people like Brother Mike, Sister Tammy, Pastor Becky. You need to get around some people who will walk this way for a while because they can say, hey, listen, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen the seed of Abraham begging bread. Understand this. If God said it, he's big enough to settle it. It's never the promiser. Number two, check the promise. Check what was written. Check the fine print. But when I read the fine print and when I look to the word, Chris, I find something staring back at me that I thought I'd already settled. Because when I look to the word, John 1:1 says, the word is Christ. Christ is the word. So I looked at the promise and it looked like Jesus. I looked at the promiser and it looked like him. I look at the written promise and I see Jesus staring back at me. Let me tell you something. If we have not received the promise, it's not the promisor and it's not the promise. There's a third ingredient we need to check. The believer's faith. More than a declaration, church. There has to be an authority with that declaration that brings out of nothing that which is something. Let's go to the original text. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith. Somebody say, of faith. That it might be by grace. Of faith by grace is important. Of faith is what I bring to the table. Grace is what God brings to the table. It is the unmerited favor of God. It is me not getting what I deserve. Come on, some, or is me getting something that I didn't do anything for. To the end, promise might be sure to all of the seed. All of the seed. See, what I love about where we live, 2020, is we are called the seed of Abraham. We have been grafted in. If you are not a Jew, you needed this grafting in process. I needed the grafting in process. And then he says this, all of the seed of Abraham, not only which are of the law, that's talking about us now, we're not of the law, but to also those that have faith like Abraham, who is the father of us all. The promise of the promise and faith to bring that promise, anyone that has faith like Abraham, God is not looking to see if you're like Abraham. God is looking to see if you have faith like Abraham. Better than Isaac, Abraham gave birth to an entire movement called faith. Before Kenneth Copeland, Abraham had faith. Before Creflo Dollar, Abraham had faith. Before the Apostle Paul, Abraham had faith. And still the standing the test of time, 2,000 years after Paul penned this, anyone who has faith like Abraham, God said, I've got a promise for you no matter what. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things that are not as though they were. We love to quote this. We love to share this, that we're calling those things that are not as though they are. It is not faith if you just say it. You've got to mean it. You've got to be surprised when you call it something that it's not when it doesn't happen. You should go back again and say, no, I'm gonna declare this again. I'm going to make sure the devil knows I mean business. Because Abraham, we're about to get to it, is facing some insurmountable odds. But when God gives him a promise, Abraham starts living his life and he starts shaping his speech around what God has promised. Can I encourage you, church? Can I encourage you, online church, that when God speaks to you something, you need to start shaping the entire way that you stand. You need to start shaping the way you talk in your speech, that what I am about to say, I'm about to see, because God promised it. I'm declaring it in faith. I'm standing on the promise, and I will see what God said I would have. Come on. Verse 18, I love this. Who against hope believed in hope. When it didn't make sense and everyone said this is a hopeless situation, Abraham said, I got hope. I love that. In a faithless situation, we need believers, not in here, but everywhere, to say, hey, I got faith. When people are panicking and they don't have peace, we need believers everywhere to say, hey, I've got peace when it doesn't make sense to have peace. I have joy when it doesn't make sense to have joy. Hey, guess what? Even in my weakness, I found that I can have strength in the middle of my weakness. It doesn't make sense for me to act like this, but I'm not acting based on this and what I see. I am acting based on what God has promised me, and eventually my environment will match my declaration of faith in authority, standing on the promises of God. Somebody say amen. He hoped against hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith. And be not weak in faith. 2020 has been hard on faith. It's been hard on faith of some of the strongest believers I know. I have spent extra time praying for me. And my prayer is the same prayer that Jesus prays for me in Luke 22, verse 31. God, help my faith to not fail. Help me not to be sifted in the process that Simon was sifted in. I've been praying, God, I've seen people that I really looked up to begin to waver in their faith. And God has reminded me, those are your peers, you love them, you honor them, you pray for them, you strengthen them if you can, but that is not your source of faith. I am your source of faith. And so there's been some times in the last 11 months, church, if I can be honest, I've had to shut the door to my closet, my secret place of thunder, and I've had to say, all right, God, I need a faith dectomy. I need you to take my old faith and give me a new faith. I told you I make up words on the fly. I need new faith for this new season, God. My old faith is not going to work here. The faith that they tried to give me is not going to work here. God, I need you to do something new. And so the Bible said that he had a faith. He had unusual faith. He had faith that was tried. He had faith that was tested. And be not weak in faith. He was strong in faith, weak in body. He considered not his own body now dead. For those of you that this story is new to you, Abraham is 100 years old, and God comes up at the nursing home and says, hey, Abraham, put the blue pills away. You don't need them. You'll get that joke on the way home. Your wife or husband will tell you about it. Kids, you don't need to know about it. He said, you don't need any of that. I'm about to bring a nation out of you. You're not going to have just one son. I'm going to give you like the stars in the sky are going to be your kids. Like the sand on the seashore is going to be your kids. And when he heard this, all of his response, he was not weak in faith. He did not consider his own body now dead, meaning his fertile years that were dead and not dormant, dead. I love Abraham. Abraham's such a faith general that he said, God, if that's what you said, then that's what's going to happen. He said, I don't care what I look like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care how preposterous it is. I don't care what other people are going to say. I don't care what my family's going to say. If that's what you said is going to happen, we can put it in the bank. And I'm on your timeline, but God, let's get this show on the road. I am ready to finally have that son and have a family. And listen, I love Abraham. God tells Abraham, I don't know where Abraham was, but I'm sure he wasn't in front of a mirror. Because sometimes when God tells us something, then we start looking at the facts around us. That you're 100 years old. Your baby days are way behind you. The Bible said he did not take into account that his body could not do what God had called it to do. Wow. God doesn't look at your bank account when he gives you vision. God doesn't look at your circle of friends when he gives you big goals. God does not take inventory of what you have and where you're at and who's in the bed next to you when he calls you to greatness. God says, a lot of times at your lowest is when I speak your highest. At your lowest is when I speak your greatest. And I need an Abraham in 2020 in December to say, God, if you speak it, I will live it. Give me a word. Help me get my swagger back. I love this one, though. It goes on to say, he did not consider the deadness of his own body, and then he remembered who he's married to, 90-year-old Sarah. And the Bible says he did not consider her dead womb. I just encourage you, it's a lot easier for us to look past us because we don't see us all the time, but it's a lot harder to look past other people's faults and the deadness in other people's lives. Abraham wasn't looking at himself all the time, but he saw Sarah every day of his life. And now God said, hey, you're going to have a baby. And Abraham's like, great, who am I going to have it with? Sarah, your wife. She's 90 years old. And again, Abraham didn't even, he said, if that's who we're going to have a baby with, Then let me go down to the Marriott and get some rose petals and go ahead and get in the room, because I believe if you said it, God, that 9 months from right now, we're going to have a baby, and I'm excited about it. He didn't look at him. He didn't look at her. He just looked at God and said, God, if this is the promise, I've got enough swagger to get the job done. Somebody say amen. Verse 20, I love this. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not. Bishop wrote a book called Taking the Waver Out of Your Walk. I preached a sermon many years ago called From Stagger to Swagger. And this is where we are as a church. There's a lot of people that are staggering. But let me tell you something. When God tells you what he's about to do in you, your family, your marriage, your money, your ministry, your job, it's going to be one of those things that in your prayer time, you're going to be like, whoa, God, that's pretty big. When God shows up and tells you the promise for your family in that secret place of thunder and you're on your knees praying and God says, this is what I'm going to do, it's going to be one of those whoa God moments. But can I tell you, if God tells you, then you're not going to stagger. He's going to place it on your shoulders and you're going to have the swagger to carry the promise until it is produced. Check this out. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. God gives you the promise here. Then there's a season or a valley of unbelief that everyone
most likely will go through. And then on the other side is where the promise is performed. But the Bible said this, that Abraham had so much faith that he didn't stagger when God gave it to him. He just began to walk it out. And even in the season of unbelief when everybody said no, he just kept walking. And even when other people said it had never happened because you're 100 and she's 90, he didn't stagger. And when the rest of the world, he couldn't find a midwife to take him serious or an OBGYN to check her out, they just kept walking the promise. Why? Because it didn't come from man. It came from God. It didn't come from somebody else. It came from the creator of the universe. When God gives you a promise, don't stagger. Get your shoulders and walk ready. Get your anointing ready, because you're going to carry the promise to production. He was strong in faith. Let me back up. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, was strong in faith, giving glory to God. All of this happened before they had set up a nursery. All of this happened before the big gender reveal. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And I love this. He gave glory to God for the promise that had not yet even been incubated. Conception hadn't even taken place. And he was already inviting people to the gender reveal party because he realized, if God promised me something, I know God is going to perform it. And if God promised you something, Living Way, if God promised you something online, go ahead and start planning. You're going to have a baby. You're about to produce something that only God can do in your life. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm pregnant. Uh-oh. See, I knew y'all get quiet and just laugh it off. Verse 21. Oh, here's a good one. And being fully persuaded. You know what real faith is? Being fully persuaded. As you hear pastors with great cliches, and I'm not against the cliches. I use them. I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be. All that's great. Mean it. And if that's coming from somewhere, Abraham had real faith because he was fully persuaded. There was not, what if it doesn't happen? There's not, well, if it doesn't happen, we can always go on Facebook Marketplace and sell the crib and stroller. Well, if it doesn't happen, people are going to understand because she's 90 and I'm 100, and maybe they just think I missed God. No, Abraham was fully persuaded that when God promised me something and I declare that and I walk it out, that thing that God promised is going to happen. That is the only place that swagger and confidence in God can be born in, that what God says, I don't have to be talked into it. Come on, church. I don't have to fleece God. I don't have to pray about it for 6 months. But when God speaks a word into my life, if it's his word and my faith, then I'm fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Pastor Becky, verse 22, and therefore means, as a result of. Go back and read this week. Fully persuaded. Staggered not. Gave glory to God. There's a lot of steps that Abraham took before he ever slept with Sarah to make sure she got pregnant. Before all of that, there's a lot of steps that he took. But I love what it says here, because in the process of all of this, Abraham, before all of this, he didn't stagger. He was fully persuaded. The Bible says, and therefore, as a result of, it was imputed. Imputed means it is attributed to. He didn't earn it. But because he walked in faith, because he had the swag and didn't stagger, God said, Michael, Gabriel, go ahead and put it in his account. What does that mean? That God puts it in your account so that when you're ready for the download, it's there. For that when you're ready for the transfer, come on, church, it's there. Some of us have faced frustration because our faith, we feel it's let down, but what's really happened is nothing has been imputed.
So we're overdrawn, and when we try to download something from that account, there's nothing there. But for the faith-filled people in 2020 here at the end, it's imputed to you for righteousness' sake. Your relationship with God, your service to Him and kingdom, your love for Him, covered in the blood of Jesus, accepting Him as Savior, making Him Lord, God calls us righteous, and it's imputed. Verse 23, I told Pastor Becky after the first service, she said, that was good. I said, I didn't even get to the best three verses because we always quit preaching to verse 22. It was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone. Church, if you're looking for a reason to praise God, here it is. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for also us, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Stand on your feet, church. We don't need to look at Abraham as a saint, as a far-off figure that we could never attain, because God said Abraham is just Abraham. But because Abraham had faith, you remember him. But I've come to tell you, the word says that it was imputed to him, but it's also imputed to us. Those that believe Jesus was raised up by God the Father, those of us that believe in the spirit of resurrection, in the Christmas season, I know we're used to seeing him in a manger, but can I tell you, he is not in a manger today. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He prays for you and I, and the one thing he prays for is not bigger bank accounts. He doesn't pray for our health. He doesn't pray for our marriage. He doesn't pray for our family. He prays for our faith. Because he said, if you have faith in Christ, his word and the promise, he said, all those other things, I'll add them to you. Kind of gives new life to Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Abraham had it imputed because of righteousness. You and I have faith because of righteousness. They've already broken the ice. The hardest person is always the first one to come. They've broken the ice for the entire church. Here comes family coming down, holding her son, her grandson, holding family. Come on down. Here they come. If you're ready for God to do something great, if you're ready for that promise to show up, if you're ready to get your confidence back, that in the waiting, you're not going to lose sight. In the waiting, you're not going to lose faith. In the waiting, you're not going to run. You're not going to hide. But while you wait on the promise, you know it's coming. You know that God is working. While you're waiting right now, God is helping to instill that Christ-centered confidence in your life, that what you've got is enough to get started again, that God is speaking new life into you, that God is literally firing you up right now with a new sense of confidence in who he is. That you might have walked in this building staggering. The last few months might have tried to knock you off your feet, but I'm here to tell you, you are still standing. God's promise is still yes and amen. And like Abraham, God is imputing, God is making a transfer, God is attributing to your account all of that which you need. If you're in this house today and you've not yet joined us in this altar is open for anyone and everyone. If it's your first time, this altar